today a class action lawsuit led by Hans Pearson on behalf of an estimated 10,000 Indigenous workers who had their wages stolen last century has been settled for $190 million. Between 1932 and 1972, Indigenous workers in Queensland had all their wages under the control of the government, and many workers never received their full payment. This injustice was brought to the fore by author and historian Dr. Roz Kidd years ago, who says that a lot of the poverty we see in Australia today stems from these stolen wages.
The government controlled people's lives since about 1900 through to the 1970s. They contracted people out to work at discounted rates. They took control of their money. And the result was that people had almost no money to live on, certainly not enough to buy a house, even if you could get what they called an exemption from the state controlling you, it still could bring you back under control at any time. So the poverty you see today, and is right around Australia, was largely caused by government control and the government taking people's finances.
So we're still seeing the impacts today. You're saying the poverty that we see today stems right back to then?
Well, definitely, and Mr. Pearson's a prime example of that, because he has never, ever been able to in a position to buy a house. And yet he had enough money, he calculated, when he did seek exemption from the Act. He had enough money to put a deposit on a house, and this was quite a few decades ago and in a country area. But when he went and said, right, I want my money now, I'm not under government control anymore, they said there was only about 10% there, and there was nothing he could do about it because the government never allowed people to see any record of what it was doing with their money. And we know from the government files that I accessed from the mid-1990s, we know from those files that the whole system was riddled with fraud, with money just being lost, misappropriated, and just failed systems to account.
The nephew of Hans Pearson has said that this case is always going to have the same sort of impact, and it's important as the Mabo case. Is this a fair comparison?
Well, I think it is in the sense of what happened to people, and if people were able to get satisfactory repayment of their money, I think it would have an enormous impact across Australia, both particularly for the Aboriginal community, but also for the rest of us, being non-Aboriginal myself, in finding out this huge distortion that happened for almost 100 years in most states, which has deprived people of their money, but it also deprived them of their present and of their future across many generations. So to that extent, giving people's money back, I think, has almost the same significance as giving people's land back.
You talk about the impact it will have on non-Indigenous Australians, just becoming aware of it. Have you found in your research and looking into this topic that it's something that non-Indigenous Australians are not aware of?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I did my research in the early 1990s for a PhD, and I got access to the government's file holdings here in Queensland, which had never seen the light of day before. And having written copiously about that ever since, it's amazing that people didn't know, as I had no idea myself, and are stunned to learn that Aboriginal people in their thousands were contracted by the government. You weren't allowed to get your own job. You had to be on a government contract. The government here in Queensland sold people at about two-thirds the white rate. It took direct control of their money. It didn't give people any knowledge of what was happening. You never had a bank statement or anything like that until right to the end of the 1960s. So I think most non-Aboriginal people like myself were just amazed and also horrified to learn how this system ran for, as I say, 70, 80 years.
This process of paying back stolen wages seems to have been an ongoing issue since about 2002, the actual repayments. How does this settlement stack up to repayments made in the past?
Well, in 2002, because of the amount of writing and speaking that I'd been doing and exposing the government documents, in 2002, Peter Beattie, as Premier, made an offer of $2,000 or $4,000 per person. As he said, a win-win situation, which was patently ridiculous. But he said, well, that would resolve these past issues. And, of course, we just never stopped fighting. We said, that's absolutely ridiculous. If you compare it with today's offer, you can see how patently, not unrealistic only, but what an insult it was to people.
How do you think this decision will impact other states?
Western Australia is very well placed, perhaps, to take action. I know they have an enormous amount of research they've done and a very strong Aboriginal legal service over there. So I think the fact of the case itself will send a strong message that governments cannot stand against this call for justice, and they cannot refuse to make their records available, and they must be accountable for the records that are there, for the story those records show of misappropriation and loss through government control.
Yeah, and just lastly, Deputy Premier and Treasurer Jackie Trad has said that this is righted, and I'm quoting, the historic wrongs that were inflicted upon Indigenous people. Has it?
Not in my view. I do commend the Queensland Government for having made the offer that they have made, but there is no way that this rights the wrongs. This acknowledges the wrongs, and it pays respect to Aboriginal people who have been trying to get this money for 20, 30 and 40 years, if you go back through the records. But it certainly doesn't right it to the extent that most people would say they have got sufficient money for those many years, in some cases decades, of lost wages. But it's an important acknowledgement.
Dr. Roz Kidd speaking with The Wire's Kayle Matthews, and the full interview with Dr. Kidd is available on thewire.org.au.